Okay, so Mark is going to come up here now, and Mark is going to bring up our new partners and celebrate with them.
Yes. So if you are becoming a partner today at this time, I would invite you up onto the stage. Do not be shy. I know there's like 25, 30 of you, so please stand. Come on up. Don't be shy. So come on up. Quite a few. So while they make their way up, well, you can clap now. That's good. They haven't said their vows yet, so might be there's still time to back out. But anyways, so what I want to do here is if you're new here, or maybe you've even been here for quite a while, I think one of the great opportunities about this is just like baptism, this provides a chance for us all to remember and to reflect on why we do partnership. So maybe you're here and you're a partner and you've been one for 20, 30 years. I would just encourage you to use this time as a way just to self-reflect on your own journey. And so what I want to do before we introduce this huge group is I just want to explain what partnership is. And I think one of the easiest ways of doing that is to first explain what it's not. So partnership does not make any of these people super Christians. Okay? It doesn't make them any more holy. Jesus does that, not partnership. Okay? Second thing is partnership is our term for membership. So many churches will say membership. We like to call it partnership, and we made that change a couple years ago for this reason. Partnership is not like joining a country club, where you become a part of the club and you kind of pay your dues and then you can just sit back and relax and, you know, just kind of watch everything happen. It's not a country club. It's actually quite the opposite. Partnership is about actively partnering together with New Life for the kingdom of God. That is what partnership is about. So we have these booklets that this is what the group goes through on two Sundays, the partnership class. I would encourage you to pick one up. And I just want to read six reasons out of this book. It won't be long. Six reasons why we think partnership matters, okay? So here they are. The first reason is this. In joining New Life Community Church, you make visible your commitment to Christ and his people. So what they are doing today is that they are making visible to you, to this community, that they are followers of Christ and they want to lay down roots here at New Life. Secondly, making a commitment makes a powerful statement in a low commitment culture. We live, especially my generation, in a very non-committal, you know, kind of flaky, want to keep all of our options open culture. And so part of partnership is saying, hey, you know what? I want to lay down roots here. I want to be committed to this church. That's the second reason. Third reason is that we can be overly independent. In America, we'd like to do things by ourselves. Part of partnership is saying we're part of a bigger story. We need each other. Fourth reason, church partnership keeps us accountable and encourages your perseverance. All these people up here are broken people. I'm a broken person. I need you guys to keep me accountable in my fight against sin and the things that I struggle with. That is key to partnership. And then the fifth thing, joining New Life will help your pastors, your elders, your staff, and your life group facilitators to be more faithful shepherds. Part of being a shepherd is knowing who is in your flock. And so as a pastor, as staff, as life group facilitators, it's helpful for us to know, okay, well, who's a part of the flock? That's part of what they're saying today. And then lastly is this, the sixth point, is that we encourage partnership because it allows us to be more missional. We are better able to reach this community together as a large group of people than we are as just a bunch of individuals. And so part of this is them saying, hey, we want to join this church. We want to join this group of Christians to impact Cerritos and Artesia and Bellflower and Norwalk for the kingdom of God and the gospel. So those are six reasons why we believe in partnership. Okay? It's not a country club. Doesn't make them super Christians. but they are putting a stake in the ground, so to speak. So with that, I'm going to read you what the requirements are for partnership, just so you know that here are the five things that they agree to. That they are a Christian, that they're baptized, and if they're not, they're getting baptized in like 10, 15 minutes. That they are, they're going to participate with their time, their talent, their treasure. They confess the same faith as New Life. They hold to our mission, our vision, our values. And they will submit to the leadership of the church. And so they have all agreed to that. And at this time, I asked two of them just to share their story. And we always like to do this to make it more personal. And so I'm going to have, it's ladies first. So Ariana is going to share right now as to why she's becoming a partner.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ariana Ochoa. I took a big step recently, having graduated high school and started college, entering a new phase of my life. That pulled me to take another step toward God, and I couldn't think of a better way than becoming a partner here at New Life. I'm involved with the youth group, so now that I'm a leader, it's fitting to be more involved in the entirety of the church. Making new relationships, having new experiences, and growing closer to God through everything that comes my way, once being a partner, is what I'm looking forward to most. New Life is a home for me. It holds a special place in my heart. And I know that if I ever left, I would eventually come back because it just has that kind of allure. And New Life is where I built my faith and where God has truly blessed me. I couldn't be more thankful for the people in the community. God strengthens my faith through trials, but also does it by allowing me to recognize the gifts he has given me. My first job is in this church, being the youth ministry assistant, working with Pastor Ryan, and through knowing him and those in the youth group, the relationships are lifelong and will continue to bless me throughout my entire life. I am growing in my faith and in this place simply because of the community. Without it, I have no clue where I would be. In the future, I have no doubt that New Life will continue to serve as my stability. I look forward to the day where my faith and God's love pours into my own family. Thank you.
Thank you, Ariana. So now I'll have Kevin Simmons come forward, and he's going to share as well.
Finally getting old, so I have to wear glasses now. Well, my name is Kevin Simmons. I've been coming here to New Life for about a year, off and on with my family. And I originally came because my son, Kevin, invited me. It's that guy. He had been invited by a youth group, two youth group from school friends, or by school friends. And for us, we've been no strangers to church. We've been a part of a ministry for some 20 years, and things had gone sour in a bad way, and we left that ministry. After that experience, I was unable to go to church or even think of being part of one for a long time. And one time he got invited to come to a baptism here, and I thought I'd tag along just to check out the church, and I couldn't. But what I did was I dropped him off, and I drove real fast back home. And it was about 6 months or so after that when I actually came in for service. So in this year of regular church attendance that we've been coming off and on, God's been working in me, healing and patching up and changing my heart. And, you know, the normal stuff that he does. And I know that the next step for me is to be in a place of accountability where I'm a part of a church family. And I know I need to put down roots, not just for me, but also for my family. And I already have the Holy Spirit tugging on my heart, and I don't need my daughter telling me I need to go to church, because she does that. And before Pastor Mark mentions it, joining a life group is on the near horizon, so we'll be doing that soon. And this is not a completely comfortable step for me, as it's much easier to be watching the streaming the service in my pajamas. but it's a necessary step for my spiritual health to join a church family. So that's my 3 minutes or less nutshell.
Thank you, Kevin. And Kevin, I just want to say you can come here in your pajamas and that's okay. Are we okay with that? Pajamas? Yeah, look at everyone. Oh, wow. This is my last Sunday here, but I feel like you guys need to do a pajama Sunday sometime in the future. Wow, who would have thought? That's really interesting. Hey, it is such a joy. I know so many of you in different capacities. We have a lot of the youth leaders right here. There's a large portion of from our Indonesian group right here. And that is just fun to see so much new families just coming in. So Pastor Ricky went through the partnership class with them. And it is such a joy just to have you guys with us in the Simmons. I remember getting coffee with you guys months ago, and here you are. So such a joy to see you guys do this. If you're wanting to get to know their names and their photos, we have a flyer of mugshots of them. Some of them do look like mugshots, but that'll be outside at the Info Center. The Info Center is out here this Sunday because of the lunch afterwards. So we would encourage you to go and look at that. And so lastly, the fun part, I kind of explained this is kind of like wedding vows. Except they're not marrying me, so let me be clear on that. But I'm going to ask them 4 questions, and they already know these questions ahead of time, and they're going to respond with yes or we do. And that is just their sign to us that they are committing to becoming a partner at New Life. So let me ask you guys these 4 questions. After each question, just say, I do. Here's the first question. Do you accept God's grace fulfilled in Jesus Christ, revealed in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament as the only way to eternal life? If so, say I do. Question number 2. Do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of New Life, obeying its doctrines and its teaching, and to walk in the spirit of Christian love with the congregation by not perpetrating gossip or dissension and seeking the things that make for unity, purity, and peace? If so, say I do. Thirdly, do you promise to pray for yourself and others, seeking God's guidance as together we seek to grow in knowledge and understanding of living out the Christian faith, as we are intentional to be new life for the city, and as together we take steps to become missional in all we say and do? If so, say yes, I do. Oh, I switched it up on you. I said yes, and the other ones I just said I do. I'm sorry. Okay, 4th question, last one. Understanding that the Christian life is a journey, do you promise to the best of your ability to live out your life in Christ by active participation in the life of the church as demonstrated by faithful attendance to worship, the offering of time, talent, and treasure to the glory of God? If so, say, I do. All right. And then lastly, for you as a congregation, you as partners, if you welcome these partners into New Life, if I can just get an affirmation of saying, we do. Wonderful. Let's give them a round of applause. Welcome. And so at this time, I'm just going to pray for them. And as we usually do, if we just want to invite you to extend a hand, this is nothing cultish, but this is just a sign and a symbol of saying we want to extend God's grace to them. And so if you can, if you're comfortable with that, just extend a hand as I pray for our new partners. God, thank you so much for this group. We just thank you so much for the diversity of this group, from the ages to the ethnicities, to the backgrounds, to their different stories, to how you've worked in their life. And God, that we ask now as we kind of commission them as partners at New Life, that you would encourage them, that your grace and your love and your hope would just fill their lives. I pray, Lord, that the gospel would just leak out of them to their family, to their neighbors, to their coworkers, to their colleagues. Lord, I pray that we as a church would encourage them, that we would keep them accountable, that we would be there for them, that we would be generous towards them, that we would sacrifice for them. God, thank you so much that you use this metaphor in the scriptures of church as a family. And so God, I just pray that this family at New Life continues to grow. We are so thankful for your gospel, the gospel work that you've done in them. And we pray, Lord, that you would take them to new heights now. And so it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let's give them one more round of applause. Well, as they exit the stage, we're going to move into a time of offering. Offering here at New Life is an act of worship. The offering is essentially saying that money is not our God. That in fact, God owns all of our money. He's the manager. We're the steward. And so we just ask you to be generous in giving back to God what he has given you already. And so I just ask for the ushers to come forward to receive our offering at this time.
As our eyes, strength of God, go before, lift me up. As I wake, eyes of God, look upon, be my side. As I wake, heart of God, satisfied and to stay. As I hear voice of God, lead me on, be my guide, be my guide. Above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. Above and below me, before and behind me,
Good morning, church. How we doing? It is good to be with you. My name is Pastor Ryan, and I work with our middle school, high school, and young adults. And celebrating baptisms is one of my favorite things to get to do, and I'm so excited for that. So if I could have those being baptized come on up this morning. And let's give them a round of applause, too, as they come up. Now, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is a passage known as the Great Commission. And this is something that churches for 2,000 years have taken, the words of Christ, and taken it as their mission. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So this morning, New Life, we are living out that Great Commission. Every day, we're living it out. And this morning, we get to baptize. Baptism is very simply a covenant promise. Covenant is a fancy word for an agreement. God has promised us that he will never leave us and never forsake us, and that if we call on his name, the name of Jesus, that we can be saved, that we can be forgiven of our sins, that we could be made whole and forever a part of his family. And baptism is that public agreement that God says, "I will never leave you. You are mine, forever mine." The Bible says that we were once far off, sinners, separated from God, yet God reached out and grabbed a hold of our lives. He has rescued us and brought us near to himself, and nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So baptism is God's promise to us, but it is also our response to him to say, "God, here I am. I am all yours. I'm giving you my whole life, and I will follow you all my days." Baptism is a visible sign of an invisible grace. That means we are physically going to be in the water, but spiritually, it's a symbol that we've been forgiven of our sins. Now, those getting baptized today have already said yes to Jesus, have already accepted him as their Savior, have already asked for forgiveness of sins. There's no magic in the water today, but this is our symbol as we proclaim that they are God's people now and forever. Now, in our tradition, we baptize infants. We believe that families, when they have a baby, which I've just had three, actually my wife did most of the work, but I'm a part of that to some degree. And when you have a child, you can say, "God, we are going to raise our child in your ways." So we baptize this baby as our promise to you, God, to say we are going to raise them in the church to know and love God. But not everybody was born and raised in the church. And so we get to baptize people of any age and of any stage when they come to believe in Jesus and want to commit their life to him. So this morning we have four wonderful people who are going to get to share their testimony with you, and they're going to get to be baptized, and we're going to get to celebrate with them together. Does that sound good? All right, let's do it.
Hi, hi. Good morning, everybody. My name is Maribel Biakon. I moved here about 5 years ago, but we've been coming to New Life Church a little over a month, and now here we are getting baptized. When I was asked to write a testimony for this occasion, it was challenging for me. Challenging because my overall experience, religious experience, was very minimal. Growing up, there were many meaningful connections with God, but I just didn't realize that yet. I always believed that God is everywhere. He exists above space, time, and matter, and that he also exists within us. I believe that everyone's religious journey is a personal one, and no two can be compared. I was baptized under the Catholic faith and born into a family that believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, going to church and praying was not routine, nor was it practiced. At 5 years old, I was surrounded by people who prayed for me and asked God for healing because I underwent surgery to alleviate my scoliosis. During my early years, I can say that I knew there was a higher being. I just didn't know him. My teenage and my early adult years were the same. I believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But church and praying, I didn't go to church regularly. I didn't read the Bible, and I only prayed to God when I was afraid or when I needed something. So I was labeled a non-practicing Catholic. All in all, I can say that I am a good person, but no good person is without sin. I've learned that we were all born with sin, and it's only through Jesus Christ that we can find redemption, salvation, and the path to God. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I've had a couple of inadequate relationships due to my poor self-image, one of which resulted in me having my son, Anthony. But it was through these inadequate relationships that I accepted myself and found the love of God. During these years, I can say that I knew about God and I wanted to be closer to him. In John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Coming to New Life Community Church, I've learned how important it is for prayer to be an integral part of our lives, how necessary it is to realign my spiritual self to knowing God, and to continue in the acts of forgiving others. Today, I'm getting baptized, and I'm publicly sharing that I am committing my life to following God. Thank you.
Bell, because of your faith in Jesus, I have the honor to baptize you in the name of the Father who created you, in the name of the Son who died and rose from the grave for you, in the name of the Spirit who lives with you each and every day.
Before I gave my life to Christ, I was empty and confused. When I was 18, I found myself in a low spot in my life, and nothing mattered to me anymore. I didn't want to live. Since I surrendered my life to Christ, I have hope and a reason to live. I don't want to die anymore. Before Christ found me, I was alone, battling on and off with depression and addiction. Far from home, I was living a selfish and self-seeking kind of life. My life was saved many, many times, but I kept running back to the fast life. My pride didn't allow me to see that it was God saving me all those times. It wasn't until May of this year that I completely surrendered to Christ. I was hospitalized May 21st of this year with a disease called multiple sclerosis. I could not walk and I could not see. I was filled with so much fear. But since I gave my life to Christ and accepted him, I was able to walk up, to take my bed and walk again. All my life I thought and said, "God, if you are really there, why must I go through so much pain and agony?" I always longed for a loving father who would never abandon me. While I was in the hospital, I cried out to God. I said, "God, don't leave me. Please help me." Every week, people came to read the Bible and pray for me. One day, my mom's friend visited me, who was Christian, and I told her that I want to give my whole life to Christ. She asked me if I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I said yes with every inch of my heart. I asked him to forgive me for turning my back on him a long time ago. Forgive me for all the horrible things I did. Coming to a new life, I realized that God answered my prayers, and he was with me, holding my hand through this journey. I never thought I'd walk through these doors, but God had different plans for me. I asked him for guidance, and new life caught my attention. I realized after my first visit that this was the church that I went to an AA meeting a long time ago. I used to question my existence, but today I live for God and I want to move forward hand in hand with God. So today I'm making a public declaration in front of all my brothers and sisters that I completely give myself and my life, my soul, my heart to Jesus Christ.
So encouraged and inspired by your story. And I just want to tell you in front of everyone that you have a loving father now in the gospel. You have a family who loves you. So Julie, it's my joy, my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Like I just ran a mile. My heart is beating so fast. My name is Chelsea Arena and I'm 18 years old. When I was a baby, I was baptized as a Catholic. And growing up, I remember waking up for church every Sunday morning. Looking back, I remember how I never really understood who Jesus or God was. I just knew that if you believed in them, you would go to heaven. As I got older, I lost the interest of going to church, and my grandma had to bribe or threaten me and my siblings with not being able to go out that week. And that was the only thing that kept me going to church until I got old enough to make my own decisions and I stopped going altogether. Some of my family and friends don't know it, but from middle school until now, I've been struggling with anxiety and depression. First, when you meet me, you would never guess it because I'm always so happy and smiling all the time. But I have been at the lowest parts of my life, to the point where I've self-harmed and contemplated suicide. I didn't feel comfortable talking to anyone about it, so I kept everything to myself. At that point in my life, I didn't really know how to pray or how praying really worked, but I would try it every once in a while, and each time I was saved by the Lord for myself. God has not only been there for me, but for other people in my life that I've prayed for. My mom and dad are the strongest people I know. No matter what they go through, they see their way through it and make it work. After my little sister was born, my mom had a stroke, leaving her left side paralyzed. me being in my teenage years, my mom and I bump heads a lot, but we took care of each other as I grew up. If I couldn't do something, she would help me do it. And if she couldn't do another thing, I would do it for her. Without my mom, I don't know what I would do. My dad, on the other hand, is my superhero. He does everything and whatever he can for his girls. He would literally move mountains for us. But we see his struggle, and I don't think he knows we do. But we know how hard he works for us, and how he always wants to make us happy. But even if we just had the clothes on our backs, I know my family would still be happy because we have each other. And I thank God for my family every day. Last year, I met someone who has made a big impact on my life. He showed me that there is always a better way, and he is a huge part of why my faith in God is the way it is today. My boyfriend, Zach, understood what I was going through and never judged me. Instead, he would pray with me. He would read verses of the Bible to me, and he made me start going to church again, wanting to learn more about it. I recently found out about New Life through one of my good friends, Nina Stanton. Here she is. Sorry, I lost my spot. Okay. When I told her I wanted to live my life as a Christian, she invited me to church, and I fell in love with it. I used to fall asleep during church, but now I sometimes catch myself crying during worship. Now I have started to read the Bible on my own, and sometimes I come to church by myself. I have learned so much about not only God, but about myself too. I understand that there is a deeper meaning into believing in Christ. Not only do you go to heaven, but he will always be there to love and forgive you. He is the reason for living. He died on the cross for me and my sins, and I want to live and better myself for him. I want to spread his word to people who may be going through the same things I am, or even better, to everyone. I am ready to live my life through Christ and make my life 100% about him. Today I have asked Nina Stanton to baptize me because I feel she has been a huge part of my journey with not only God, but my life. She has seen me through the worst of my days, but has also been with me at my best. I'm so grateful for her friendship and guidance through this process. Thank you.
Anthony Biacon, and the same scenario as my mom. I moved here about 5 years ago. Growing up, I didn't know God. My mom and I never really practiced going to church, but she did taught me that God is always watching me and to always love him and always pray. The Lord's Prayer was the first prayer I learned. I prayed to God, but I didn't really know why I was praying to him. Most of my prayers were about wanting and wishing for things and less on praying for others and thanking him. My dad wasn't around when I was growing up. At one point, I just gave up on him because he wasn't there for me when I needed him the most. I would ask myself, how can a father not be there for his son? It was hard for me to forgive him, but I learned that forgiveness means loving one another just as God did through Jesus Christ. I can say that the relationship I have with my dad now can be better, but love is patient. Sins come in many forms, like saying bad words, being rude to people, or not being able to forgive others. These things would make me feel bad about myself, and knowing I wasn't baptized yet made me even more worried about connecting with God. I know that Jesus died for our sins, and it was the only and it was only through Jesus that I can be forgiven for my sins. I have many things to learn and understand about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. After being baptized today, I hope to grow in my faith. I hope to grow in forgiving others and hope to grow in knowing God. Today I'm sharing with you all that I'm ready to be committed to following God in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and God, as God in Christ forgave you.
It is my joy, honor, and privilege to get to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So cool, church. Amen.
Amen.
You know, very similar to partnership, when we get to participate in baptisms together, we are reminded too that we one day said yes to Jesus. We one day had a moment where we confessed our faith to him or to others. And so I hope that you're reminded and encouraged by this morning. We've also talked in our class the importance of not allowing this to be a finish line, but a start line, because this is only the beginning of a huge faith journey that they have. Yes, God has already been at work a ton in their lives, but we've talked about how important it is to get involved in a life group, to get involved in community, to get involved in serving, to go after God, to continue to be faithful. And so I just want to give that for us even this morning as an encouragement to continue to pursue God and go after our faith and be intentional with that growth. So the last thing I want to do is have all of them come stand right here up front. And if y'all could extend another hand, if the previous hand was tired, you can use the other arm. That's totally fine. You want to get an even workout. You want both sides to be as even as possible. But go ahead and extend a hand as far as you can. And we're just going to pray a blessing over them. Father God, we thank you so much that you have sent your Son that we might be saved. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that you show us our sins, you convict us, you restore us, you inspire us, and you meet us where we're at. And we thank you so much for these stories right here, God, that you have been at work from the very beginning, and that today we could celebrate this amazing time together. God, we pray that you would continue to fill them with your Holy Spirit, continue to empower them to live out their faith, to grow in you, that you would guide them, that you would protect them, that you would anoint them, Lord, that you would even work in their lives and through their lives, that others later on this year, next year, 5 years from now would be up on the stage saying, I'm getting baptized because faith was shared with me from those here up front. God, I pray that you would work powerfully in and through these four and continue to guide them all the days of your life. Help us to love them well as a church and continue to welcome them well into our family, God. So we just give you the glory. We praise your holy name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, church.
Holy. you stand and sing this song with us?
Holy, 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 belongs to you. Worthy Savior, take the honor. It all belongs to you. Take the glory, take the power. It all belongs to you. Worthy Savior, take the honor. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you.
Go ahead and take a seat. This is our last time being up here on this stage, maybe, so we might milk it for all it's worth. hey, if you're new, my name is Mark Lohman, and this is my wife, Rachel, and we're both associate pastors here. And today is actually our last Sunday. And so, yeah, it's bittersweet. We are full of excitement for our next journey, but also, obviously, sad to leave you guys. So we just wanted to say a couple words. This is kind of our closing words. And, yeah, we'll go from there. this is just so crazy. So, you know, it's interesting. Rachel and I, the last couple of days, have been reflecting. And when I started here at New Life, which was a little over 4 years ago, I was not married. So in the last 4 years, we've gotten married. Rachel had a miscarriage. We bought a house, had a baby. Parker's 5 months old now. And so it is just surreal just to look back and to think, wow, there's actually so much that has happened in the last 4 years here. And the cool thing about that is that you have all been a part of that. And we are forever, forever grateful for that. And so I just wanted to say thank you for a couple of things. One, just for loving us well. And so we, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for everything that you have done. Baby showers and walking with Rachel through a miscarriage and just the things of that nature. A couple of things that I love about New Life is I love the diversity that we have here. I love that we are an intergenerational church. And both those things are very hard to do. But that is something that will be forever imprinted upon us. But I think that the biggest thing that I have learned from the congregation is that I think New Life has an incredibly faithful congregation. If you're familiar with the history here, I mean, New Life goes back decades and decades. And it is just a strand of faithfulness, commitment, and endurance. And not only do I think that that has gotten you to where you are now, but I think that will also play a role for whatever the future holds at New Life. And so something that Rachel and I are so aware of is that you guys are in a great place. And God will be so faithful to you guys, and you are so faithful to Him and to each other, and we just want to commend you for that. In terms of like closing words, I guess, for me, and then Rachel will speak. If you remember anything that I say, here's what I would like it to be. I thought of like, okay, what am I going to share? Am I going to go to a verse, a passage? Like, what's something really cool or insightful I could share? And what I landed on is actually really simple. I have to do this. So the best book in the Bible, the book of Mark. This same passage is in multiple gospels. So I could have chosen Matthew, but I said, no, I'm going to choose Mark. So Mark chapter 12, verse 29. I'll go ahead and read it for us. So the teachers of the law, they're talking to Jesus. And they ask him this. of all the commandments, what is the most important? It's actually a fascinating question that Jesus is asked. They try to pin him in the corner. And here's what he says. He says, the most important command is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this: to love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no commandment greater than these. To be a disciple of Jesus, to be a student of Jesus, to be an apprentice of Jesus is actually really simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And so my parting words for New Life and for us is to love God and to love others. To love God, to passionately place Jesus at the center of your life. And so we've talked about that. That involves praying to him. That involves reading the scriptures. It involves things like fasting. But I just want to encourage you to go after Jesus with everything that you have. And that takes intentionality and it takes passion to love God with everything you have. That's the first thing. The second thing, out of that love for God, love others with radical generosity and sacrifice and selflessness and forgiveness, and the list goes on. I believe, I think two of them said it before they're getting baptized. When we realize how much God loves us, we can't help but love others and forgive others. And then the last thing is interesting. Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself. So to love others well, you actually have to love yourself well. And I would just encourage you guys, do things like Sabbath. Do things like silence and solitude. We live in an overcrowded, busy, distracted culture that will just go at you to take your time away from Jesus. Take care of yourself emotionally, physically. Invite Jesus into your family history for healing. So that's kind of my last words is love God, love others, love yourself. Many of you do that. If you do that and more, I can guarantee you that New Life will continue to grow, will reach out to this community, a church, this is Christian cliche, but will be on fire for Jesus when you love God and love others. If you do that well, Jesus will have his way. So those are my last words.
Hi, everyone. It was on our first date, and we were sitting at this little cute wine bar in Pasadena, and Mark was about to graduate. And I remember he told me when I was asking, because, you know, you got to make sure that the person you're potentially going to be in a relationship with has some job options. And I said, so what's like next month going to look like for you? And he said, well, right now I have it down to two options. One is out on the East Coast doing this ministry that reaches out to kids, agnostics, atheists on Ivy League campuses. And he said, the other one is this church in Artesia. It's called New Life. And he proceeded to tell me more and more. And I left our first date and I just thought, man, well, I hope that he chooses the job in Artesia selfishly, because I kind of wanted a second date and a third date. And if he's going to move to the East Coast, that's not going to happen. But now when I look back at that and that silly little prayer, I'm so grateful to God for more than one way of how he answered that, because we got a family out of that. And like Mark mentioned, these past 4 years, we as individuals, as a couple, as a family, we have walked through so many milestones, so many kind of fork in the road moments that will forever define our faith. And we've done our best to be open and honest and walk in vulnerability and to model that, because we want as a church for all of you to be able to walk in that as well. And I just want to say thank you for the way that you've responded to that. For the way that you have brought meals to our house when we needed them, or sent texts or cards in the mail. How you've showered our little Parker with love. how you were excited for us when we came back from New York City years ago with a ring on my finger and celebrated as we entered into marriage. And how you have so graciously understood this next move for us. You know, many of you have said you're sad, but you're excited and you get it. And it's what we have to do. And I thank you for that posture. In many ways, that is how we feel in our heart too. This is bittersweet, leaving a family that truly has become a family. But yet we know this is where God is calling us for the next chapter. And so kind of just one thing that I want to leave you with, simple as well, is the words that Jesus gives to his disciples in John 15 when he says, "Abide in me." And if we stay close to him, if his words and his spirit is at home in our hearts, that is what we need. Apart from that, we can't do anything, it says. And I just want that to be your prayer, because it's our prayer. It's the prayer I pray for my own life, for Mark and me, for our son, is that we would always abide. Because a passionate, thriving relationship with Jesus that is in your heart, that feeds out to every other sphere of life. I know that God loves his church so fiercely. We are his bride. He's going to care for you. He's going to see you through the future seasons. His faithfulness will prevail. And in return, our invitation is to abide. So thank you for the ways that you've loved us. Thank you for the opportunities you've given us, that you took a chance on us as young pastors, that you've helped us develop our voice here as teachers of God's word, that you've given me as a female the opportunity to speak and you've received me. I don't take any of that lightly. Thank you for allowing us to become leaders, to refine our leadership, to build a skill set of experiences that literally will guide us for years and years. We love you all. We'll miss you all. And I don't know what to say now.
So I am going to give them a prayer of blessing. And again, you've already held up one hand and then the other. This may have to be a two-fister, folks. Hold them both up. So if you're comfortable, let's stand. Extend that hand and let me give a blessing to these wonderful people. Lord, we know you are here and we thank you. You have been a part of Mark and Rachel's lives for years and we've been blessed for the past 4 years. Thank you that even as a church, they accepted this young guy, even when he was single and almost bald, and that they loved him and they trusted you to use him to be a part of our leadership and a part of what is at place here at New Life. And when Rachel was added to that, Lord, it just sweetened everything else. And she has been a gift to us and an encouragement and a wonderful example that, yes, you can use women to spread your good news. And so thank you for that. And I pray a prayer of protection for them as they now step into the lead pastor role, that things are indeed different. And I pray that you will protect their hearts from weird accusations, from weird comments, from people who just think they are entitled to say anything they want because they can. And so I just pray that you will protect them. I pray that their home will be both a refuge and a safe place, as well as a place that where your gospel is extended to others. That they people will come in and they will see them and see how they live, and that you will be glorified in that. I pray that for Marcus, he has to deliver those messages, that you'll continue to give him the time he needs and the space he needs to be true to your word and to the people that you have called them to serve. And I give you thanks. Thanks for the last 4 years, and thanks for the future of them, and that they are leaving to continue to share your good news with the people of Chino and the people that you bring into their paths. And as people are drawn to you, as relationships are healed, as marriages are brought together, as people come to faith, we will give you the glory. Amen. Okay, thank you, folks. A couple things. If you're our guest, we'd love to see you outside here and say hi, give you a gift. We have a bunch of food that Mark and Rachel don't want to take to their new home. And so come outside, just enjoy each other's company. Write a card to them if you would like to. That's out there. And let's enjoy the fellowship of one another. And then let's leave this place being new life for the city.